It was a long time ago when I read this chapter 5 from the Gospel according to John, and I gave some kind of a presentation, Bible sharing. First 13 or 14 verses, and now I would like to continue, and somehow I just don't know how to continue. I think I will have to make at least a brief review of the first part of the chapter. There was at Jerusalem in the sheep market a pool which is called in Hebrew language Bethesda, having five porches. In these porches there is a great multitude of impotent folk, people that are blind, impotent, halt, withered, any kind of sickness, and they're waiting for something to happen. An angel or a messenger went down at a certain time of the day in the pool and troubled or moved, stirred up the water, and then whosoever first after the moving of the water stepped into the water was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Well, the whole story is quite unusual. Did this moving of the water happen every day? Did that happen every day at the same time? Or did it happen once a week? And then again, if it happened once a week, did that happen at the same time? Could it be that somebody could have gone into the water and just was sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting and stepping out just a moment for some most necessary needs and then right back into the water and just wait? So when the water was moved, this man is already in the water. But apparently that was not possible. Somebody had to see the movement of the water, because apparently that angel was not visible. If the angel was visible, or the messenger was visible, if that messenger was coming, walking, to come to the pool and stepped into the water and started moving, stirring up, mixing the waters, well then everybody could see that. And I wonder if some people were fighting one against another. Hey, I want to be the first. What was the access to the water? All of that is unanswered question. What we have here, a miracle is taking place, and only one person can be healed. That person that was healed of any sickness, any disease. So, if we could say it that way, that person came out of the water perfectly healthy, in a perfect sound health, which is unusual for this world and this earth. None of us is perfectly healthy. But suppose that that happened to that person. What is the picture showing to us? There was a multitude of sick people. I think that this is a picture of humanity. And the pool represents, in a way, the Word of God. And as long as that Word of God is left alone, there is no moving, no stirring up, no using of that Word of God. It's useless. Now, the Word of God in itself is powerful. In this book, from cover to cover, we have everything that we need for our salvation. Everything that we need for a good relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A good and everlasting relationship with our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. In this book we have everything that we need to know and believe in order to have a wonderful fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Everything is here. Nothing is lacking. But until that water is moved, until we step in, we keep our sickness for ourselves. And it can be years, it can be a long time, it could be lifetime, and we can die in our sin and go meet our judgment instead of rejoicing, looking forward to that everlasting salvation in Christ Jesus. So what happened in this story? There was a certain man that was there for a long time. Perhaps we could understand these five porches as five books of Moses, the law, the ordinances, the law of sacrifices, the history of the patriarchs, the creation of the world, everything that is necessary to learn for an Israelite, to learn about God, about God's creation, to learn His commandments, to learn His law, to learn and even experience God's grace, great goodness and mercy, to receive that salvation that only God can give. If we can imagine so, and if that suggestion is correct, then the law was given to prepare us for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a shelter. It was a way of protecting the people that believed the Word of God from getting lost in this world, returning back into Egypt, wandering after the other nations, just patiently and prayerfully waiting for the Messiah to come and give them that perfect health. I would think that most of these people that are here in these porches are waiting for the moving of the water and preparing to be ready to be the first. So most of them have a hope, an expectation. They hope that if not today, then next time or the time after, they will have an opportunity to jump into that water, or just to roll in the moment the water has been moved by the messenger, and they will be healed. And the Lord is passing by them. The Lord Jesus Christ found one that seemed to be quite hopeless. He has been there in his infirmity 38 years. Now, I don't know if this man came the first year, as soon as he got sick, came to this pool and was waiting 37 years, or perhaps he was informed, somebody told him about this miraculous pool of water where the messenger of God is coming and bringing healing to everyone who was the first. Perhaps this man was here 10 years. Perhaps he was here 1 year. But even 1 year waiting 66 days to be healed, and always seeing somebody else was healed and I was not, that would make a man very desperate, I would think. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this man. And the Lord has the knowledge and the understanding that this man has been in his sickness 38 years. I wonder if these 38 years, if that number has some symbolic meaning or not. I don't know. Perhaps this was 38 years of this man wandering through the wilderness before he could enter into the promised land, and perhaps 2 more years, and somehow he managed to splash into the water. Well, it didn't happen, and he didn't wait that long. The Lord Jesus Christ came to him and looked at him and asked him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, it's an interesting question. It's an unusual question to somebody who is there in one of the porches among the people waiting for the opportunity to be healed. If every day a man was healed, why was there so many people? It looks like, to me at least, that these porches were filled, that there was hardly any room for another one. And here is a man that is taking one place, one spot, for so long. And the Lord asked him, do you have any desire to be whole, to be healed? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is moved to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. What does that mean? I believe that that's exactly how it happened. That this man was not able to reach the water in the pool before the others. Always, at least one or more were faster than him. He was impotent. He was sick. I don't know how he was able to come into the water. Did he ever try? But while I am coming, he said, another stepped down before me. So if he was impotent, if he was not able to walk, was he able to roll over? How would he move? One way or another, somebody else was there before this man for so long a time. And now the Lord Jesus Christ is here, and the focus of this man is still on another man. And I would think that this is a picture of humanity. As long as my healing depends on another man, I'll never get healed. Or the other people have helpers. And it's good to receive the help. If the Lord has provided for a helper, receive that help and be thankful to the helper and to the Lord even more. Nothing wrong. Not necessarily wrong. Receiving help from the helpers. If the intention is good, if there is no evil in receiving that help, excellent. Let's receive the help. But thinking about the spiritual side, we are hopeless and helpless as long as our salvation depends on another human being or another group or a church or eldership or leadership of any kind, of any guru, any super believer. We are hopeless and helpless, and we are sick. Only when we hear the word of God, and here is the Lord Jesus Christ telling, proclaiming the word of God, when we hear that word and we believe it, we receive it, we obey it, the healing is ours. Because that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. So what the Lord said to this man, rise, take up your bed, and go. The same moment, the same instant, the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath, the holy day, the day of peace, the day of rest. Now, when we take that from the spiritual side, the moment we hear the word of God, the moment the Lord Jesus Christ gave us healing, the moment we received new life in Christ Jesus our Savior, the Sabbath started. It's a new day. It's a day of rest, resting from our sin, resting from our iniquity, from our wanderings, from our empty, vain desires and striving after the pleasures of the world. The moment we received the healing, we entered into the Sabbath. For Jesus Christ is the Sabbath for everyone that believeth. Well, there are other people that take the Sabbath in a different way. They are not the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are opposing the gospel of salvation. They have their own laws, and they are perverting the law of God. Now, we read in the scripture that the Sabbath should be observed, that the Sabbath day should be respected. It's a commandment, one of the Ten Commandments. Because in 6 days, the Lord God created the world, and He rested on the seventh day. What did He do? What did the Lord God do on the seventh day? Fell asleep? No. Did He plug His ears not to hear the praises of the angels? I don't believe so. What did He do? He enjoyed His work. He was happy with what He has created. That's the rest the Father has, and that's the kind of rest the Son is bringing to us. These Jews made themselves as the guards of the law, but they also modified their understanding of the law in such a way that they are not actually honoring the Lord, but themselves. If they believed the Lord, if they did understand the Sabbath, if they really were striving to understand the Word of God, they would have known that the Almighty God has sent down to this earth His only begotten Son, His beloved one, His chosen one, the one in whom the Father is perfectly pleased, to bring to us everlasting Sabbath. This was the year of Jubilee, the Sabbath of Sabbaths. And they should have rejoiced and say, oh, what a blessed day. This is the day that the Lord has created. Let us rejoice and be glad in that, because the Lord is healing His people. Well, they are not interested in healing. The Jews said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry the bed. And he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now, I wonder, was this man aimless or idle or just did not know what to do? How far did he walk with the bed or mattress or sleeping bag, whatever he had? How long he waited and walked with that? Did he go to the nearest place where he could continue his Sabbath day? But in any case, this man just excused himself. Well, the one that healed me, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And what did the Jews say? Oh, you were sick? What were you sick of? What was your disease? Who is the man that healed you? No, that's not in their interest. I suspect that they did know all of that. They're not interested in that. All that they are striving after is to find some accusations. Are we sometimes like the Jews? When we meet somebody who is not from our group, are we looking for the bad things at the same time working hard to hide the bad things that are in our group? Well, if that's what we do, then we are hypocrites, we are Jews, we are not the believers in Christ Jesus, at least we are not behaving as the believers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They asked this man, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" That's all they're interested in. Is there any way of accusing somebody that we may appear holy and godly? And that man that was healed did not know who was the man that healed him. Now that tells us a lot about this man that was healed. He was healed of this disease, this sickness. But in his mind and his heart, he was not healed. He was still just a man of this world, one that did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, one that lacked gratitude. He didn't get excited even that much about his healing that he would ask the man, "Who are you? What is your teaching? What is your name? Where do you live?" No, he did not know anything. He got healed, he picked up his bed, and he's gone. And he's walking around, and the Jews got him, and he excused him on the person that healed him. Well, the Lord Jesus moved away from that place, a multitude being in that place. So what if there is multitude? Is that a reason for the Lord Jesus Christ to go away? That's interesting. Why would the Lord go away? There was nothing else to do. There is a crowd of people that is looking for the moving of the water. They're not interested in anything else. All the people that are fascinated with any other kind of healing than the salvation in Jesus Christ the Lord are not prepared to hear the gospel. Now, was this healing given by the Lord? Yes. Yes, God is the one that sent the messenger. Satan is not able to heal anybody. Satan is not capable of doing anything good. He can ruin, he can destroy, he can do all kinds of bad things if the Lord God is not going to prevent him, to limit him. Satan is relentless, tireless in doing evil. Well, these people, the Jews, asked the healed man, "Who is that criminal, that religious criminal that dared tell somebody to carry around the bed on the Sabbath day?" So that was the end of the conversation. The man said, "I don't know. I don't know who is that man and where he is." Did the Jews believe him or not? That remains an open question. But this is the end of their conversation. Later on, the Lord Jesus found this man in the temple. So this is a religious man. He might be even in his own way spiritual. But the Lord Jesus Christ found this man in the temple and said unto him, "Look, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." What could be worse than a sickness, impotence, that lasted 38 years and perhaps would have lasted another 50 years? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ met this man in the temple, the man understood, recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as the person that has healed him. But the words that the Lord told this man apparently were not very delightful to him. The Lord said, "Look, behold, you are clean, you are healed, you are free from your sickness. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. What does that mean? Does that mean that the sickness from which he was healed, the sickness that he suffered 38 years, was a consequence of some of his own sin? In another place we see when the Lord with his disciples was passing by a blind man, a man that was blind from his birth, born blind, never saw the light of the day, never saw any human face, not even his own parents. He was blind from the very birth. And the disciples asked, Master, did he sin or his parents sin that he was born blind? What could be the reason? Apparently, the disciples would believe, if we never sinned, we would have been always in perfect health. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. It's true that with our sinful way of living, we damage our health. We cause our body to be unhealthy. But the Lord said in that particular case, this blindness is not because his sin, because he was born blind, nor because his parents sinned. But this blindness is an opportunity that the work of God be revealed upon him. What the Lord said to the disciples, don't try to figure out everything. Just realize that in this life, every opportunity, every difficulty is an opportunity for you to do the will of the Lord and glorify your Heavenly Father. So, the Lord said, sin no more. Obviously, this man did sin in the past. But that does not necessarily mean that he was sick 38 years because of some special sin of his. And the others that were not sick 38 years were sinless. No, that's not the case. But the Lord says, sin no more. Actually, repent. Turn away from your sins. And obey the word of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and possibly your household, if he had one. What the Lord said, if after seeing the Lord as the healer, after hearing his word that has brought healing to this man, if this man will continue in sin, something worse will happen to him. Everyone that died in his sin is aiming for the judgment of God. For there is no other salvation but salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this second time, after hearing the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man is not asking the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the word of God? How could I live without sin? How can I change my life? How can I live in true godliness? No, none of that. This man did exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ warned him not to do. This man knew that the Jews are condemning any physical activity on the Sabbath day. This man was quite aware of the fact that the Jews are threatening the person that did say to this healed man, take up thy bed and walk. And this man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. This man was a very sinful man. This man lacked gratitude. This man was still sick. And if he did not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, if this man did not repent, he could have well been sick another 38 years and die in his sins and inherit everlasting condemnation. Well, so much about that man. Not everyone that experienced physical healing was healed spiritually, and the other way around. Not everyone that was healed spiritually, rescued from death, delivered from the power of sin, not every such a one is healed of physical diseases. We read here that the Jews did persecute the Lord Jesus and sought to kill him, to murder him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Well, why would the Jews be so much the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he healed on the Sabbath day. If they were able to heal on Friday or Thursday or Wednesday or any other day, they probably would not be so much against the Lord Jesus Christ. But because they were not able to heal, because they could only cause somebody to be sick, especially spiritually, because they could only lead somebody astray, not on the right way, the way, the path of salvation, they were envious, jealous. They hated the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord, by these miracles, was showing a testimony that he was sent from God. The Jews did not have that kind of a testimony. And yet, they claimed to be the only faithful, the only pure, the only righteous. And everybody should submit to their decisions, to their man-made rules and commandments. And so, the Jews were persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. They were after him. They were striving to ruin his reputation among the people, to slander him, to accuse him falsely, to do anything, just somehow to convince the public that this Jesus of Nazareth is a sinful man. Don't listen to him, don't walk after him, just get away from him, he's a deceiver. Well, when the people realized that he can heal them, they were flocking around him. Many were seeking that healing. And some of the Jews, some of the Pharisees, some of the priests also. Of course, when one of them is in a difficult situation and he is aware of that, then he is going to seek help even from this Jesus of Nazareth. What was the answer, the reply of the Lord Jesus Christ?